Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Monday, May 6th. I'm Kelly Lincoln, sitting in for Lauren Schmidt for KMUD. In tonight's news, a local woman was killed near Piercy, Laytonville's Boomer Saloon closes for good, and Humboldt County's grand jury urges oversight for the Sheriff's Department. Stay tuned, news on these stories and more coming right up. First, a news brief. On Friday, May 3rd, the California Court of Appeals affirmed that an unlit joint or blunt is considered an open container and should not be in reach of the driver of any vehicle. Next, at around 3 a.m. Saturday, May 4th, local resident and friend of many in Southern Humboldt, Miss Dakota Staffsling, was found deceased on Highway 101 near Piercy. The CHP is still trying to piece together what happened. KMUD News spoke with Sergeant Sean Dillon of the CHP around 1 p.m. this Monday afternoon. Sergeant Dillon gave us what little information he had.
Humboldt Communications Center received a 911 call at about 2:45 in the morning. We still don't have much information that we are able to release at the moment. The area that she was located, there is no video.
And where exactly on the highway was Dakota found?
On US 101, north of Piercy exit. So it's going to be the last exit still in Mendocino County before you come up to Cooks Valley and to 271, where they have all the large concerts at. But we are following as many investigative leads as we can. We are currently in the process of gathering a surveillance video from surrounding areas so that we can try and locate the vehicle that struck Dakota.
So you're attempting to time match footage?
We're working on that, and that's priority one. We have hours and hours of video that we're trying to go through. We're trying to create and find as many investigative leads as we can so that we'd be able to locate the responsible driver and the vehicle that was used. I wish I had more information as to what type of vehicle. However, the help that we're requesting from the public is if they've heard of anybody or a family member or a friend that may have heard of somebody that may have ran over someone, or they may think they have ran over something and they'd have minor damage to their car or even major damage to their car that they haven't reported or made a report yet. And if they wish to remain anonymous, they can still call us and to give us the information, and we'd be happy to take that information so that we can investigate further. During normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, they can call the Garberville CHP office located in Redway at 932-6100. During non-business hours, they can call Humboldt Communications Center, which is our dispatch, at 268-2000. I wish there was more. It would make things a little bit easier to go on. And we're just hoping that whoever may have hit her may have seen this. And if they may have thought that they had struck an animal or something else, that they'd be able to come forward and let us know that they were, in fact, the involved party, so that we can take care of this with them as well.
KMUD News extends our deepest condolences to Dakota's family in this difficult time. With uncanny timing in light of the Sheriff's Department response at Cal Poly Humboldt on April 22nd, last week on April 30th, the Humboldt Grand Jury released a report titled, "Is a Lack of Oversight Due to a Lack of Foresight?" The respondent is not the sheriff, but the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors. the board is charged under the law with creating oversight mechanisms for the Sheriff's Department. The findings of the Humboldt County Civil Grand Jury reveal significant gaps in the oversight and review process concerning critical incidents and allegations of misconduct involving the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office. The grand jury report says that the lack of an independent oversight mechanism not only undermines public trust in law enforcement, but it also increases the likelihood that law enforcement agencies will misunderstand and misinterpret the public's expectations. The report says, quote, "Oversight is constructive, not punitive. Oversight strengthens the professionalism of law enforcement. By creating a secondary public review of alleged misconduct or the handling of critical incidents, the people of Humboldt County can gain a clearer view of important events that affect us all." End quote. The grand jury proposes the establishment of a civilian oversight board and an office of inspector general for the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office to facilitate timely oversight, provide a platform for community concerns, and to cultivate trust between the community and law enforcement. These oversight bodies would possess the authority to investigate complaints, review policies, and offer recommendations for enhancements. The Board of Supervisors has 90 days to give its response. To read the entire report, go to humboldt.gov, find the Document Center, and search for Sheriff's Office Oversight. Stella Gerkins brings us a report from the final performance at the Boomer in Laytonville.
In a nostalgic farewell, the vibrant sounds of Laytonville's beloved watering hole, Boomers, echoed through the air on its final night before permanent closure on Friday, May 3rd. A bustling crowd of approximately 100 patrons spilled out from the iconic Horseshoe Bar onto the parking lot, gathering beneath the golden letters spelling out Boomers at the north end of Laytonville along Redwood Highway 101. Originally established in 1931 by Frank Boomer and Martha May Kelton, Boomers has, until now, stood the test of time, evolving from a humble roadhouse to a cherished community hub. Boomer is a logging term referring to a man who doesn't stay long on any job. According to Boomer's website, it's, quote, "one who works just long enough to get a liquor steak and the wrinkles out of his belly, a fitting name for this fine establishment." End quote. KMUN News had the opportunity to speak with Kay Kuykendall, owner and wearer of multiple hats at the cherished locale, shedding light on its rich history and sentimental significance.
This is Kay Kuykendall. I'm the owner of Boomer Saloon. I've been the owner for 14 years. Boomer's has been around since 1931. The first proprietor of Boomer's was a guy named Boomer. Frank was his first name, and his nickname was Boomer Kelton. And he and his wife ran the bar here in town for years and years. And then Bob and Sheila Larson owned it for over 30 years. And they built the location where we are right now. And Boomer's has been here ever since. This location opened in 1987.
According to Boomer's website, in 1985, owners Bob and Sheila Larson wanted to create a classy San Francisco-style bar shaped like a horseshoe and made of red oak and Honduran mahogany. The shoe, as the locals like to call it, connects Long Valley buckaroos, old hippies, and loggers alike to the rest of the world. However, this era came to an end when Boomer's announced on April 1st it would be closing its doors indefinitely.
Oh, God, there's so many things. I mean, you can just pretty much, economy, number one. COVID really hit us really hard, as it did most of the hospitality businesses. And, just everything, you know, the electric prices have gone through the roof, so even just running refrigeration anymore costs a fortune. And, we no longer have our green economy up here. that kept the place hopping for years and years, and logging before that, and neither one of those businesses are still thriving. So, pretty much the economy.
Against the backdrop of a broader trend of economic strain plaguing the Emerald Triangle, the closure of Boomers represents yet another casualty in a string of businesses shutting their doors in recent history. The rural landscape poses its own challenges, but staffing shortages, erratic business cycles, lack of affordable housing, not to mention the current economy, has made operating and maintaining a business precipitously difficult.
If a business that's been around since 1931 goes out of business and it's thrived for 90-some years and then all of a sudden it's gone, well, that can tell you right there what the state of, you know, our economy is. It's in bad shape. There's no business coming in to fill the void where logging left and the green economy left, and there's just no businesses coming in to fill that void.
After Boomers closes, Kendall does not know what will become of the large space the bar and restaurant once occupied at 45020 North Highway 101. The Boomers building was sold to the Cato Indian Tribe of Laytonville in June 2023, months after the tribe closed its Red Fox Casino in Laytonville. At the time, representatives from the tribe told Mindo Voice that, quote, "We do not own Boomers Bar or other businesses within, but look forward to maintaining a good working relationship with the tenants of the building," end quote. The Boomers business was listed for sale at $230,000, including all business assets, liquor license, and equipment, in October of last year. And curiously, that listing is still online as of present. What we know for certain, Boomers may be gone, but the memories will last forever.
There's just too many. There's just way too many. We've had some excellent shows here with some Grammy award-winning artists, reggae artists, and bike runs with thousands and thousands of motorcycles. I mean, it's just, it's always just been a lot of fun. It's always been a good location, and of course, all my employees are the best. They all always have been, and couldn't do it without them. So most of them, a lot of them have been with me since I bought the place. So they're out here right now setting up the bar. We think it's going to be a big event. We've got karaoke to close out the night, which has always been a crowd favorite. And all the bartenders are going to be on today. We're going to have full staff. And I think it's just going to be fun. We're going to drink everything till it's gone. Pretty much.
An auction will take place at 1 p.m. on Sunday, May 19th, for the neon signs, custom wine rack, tables and chairs, bar stools, beer tins, vintage mirrors, booth seating, and more. Tom Allman will be the auctioneer, and the auction will take place at the Boomers location on Highway 101. For KMUT News, I'm Stella Gerkins.
Here are last week's Mendocino headlines with Matt LaFever.
This is Matt LaFever with the headlines out of Mendocino County for Friday, May 3rd, 2024. Let's begin with a story of environmental conservation and cultural preservation unfolding in Northern California. President Joe Biden is poised to sign a proclamation expanding the Berryessa Snow Mountain National Monument, a vast expanse that includes parts of Mendocino County and the Mendocino National Forest. Originally designated by President Obama in 2015, this expansion will add 13,696 acres of public lands to the monument, now totaling 343,696 acres managed jointly by the Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Forest Service. The heart of this expansion is the Moloch Loyach, an area beyond the current monument boundary. Here, an 11-mile north-to-south ridgeline holds deep cultural significance for the Patwin people. This stunning landscape features diverse geographical formations, including chaparral-covered canyons and oak and cypress woodlands interspersed with rare serpentine wetlands. It's a haven for nearly 500 native plant species, including 38 special status plants. Moloch Loyach serves as a vital wildlife corridor for tule elk, mountain lions, bears, and majestic birds like bald and golden eagles. The expansion is aimed at strengthening protections for this critical northern-south migration pathway, essential for local ecosystems. Under this expansion, the Bureau of Land Management will manage the added area under the same terms as the original monument, respecting existing grazing rights, water rights, military airspace use, state wildlife management, and wildfire response protocols. Now let's turn to Ukiah, where a routine morning took a sudden turn for the Ukiah Police Department. Yesterday, May 2nd, 2024, at approximately 9:23 a.m., the Ukiah Police Department received an alert from the Flock license plate reading camera system. The alert signaled a stolen utility trailer spotted southbound on South State Street at Talmadge Road being towed by a blue pickup truck. Officers followed the truck and trailer as they maneuvered through the city streets, eventually initiating a traffic stop on East Birken Street. The driver, identified as Brett Tucker of Laytonville, complied with officers' orders and was taken into custody without incident. Inside of the vehicle, two other adults and three children were found, determined to have no association with the stolen trailer, and were released at the scene. Meanwhile, the stolen trailer was towed away, and the truck was returned to its registered owner. Laytonville resident Brett Tucker, however, didn't escape consequence. He was booked at the Mendocino County Jail for felony violation of possession of stolen property, a vehicle, and for violating his felony probation, stemming from previous weapon charges. And now for your latest updates on fire safety regulations in Mendocino County. Effective Wednesday, May 1st, 2024 at 12:01 a.m., the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection's Mendocino Unit, known as CAL FIRE, has implemented new guidelines for hazard reduction burning in the state responsibility area. Now, anyone conducting hazard reduction burning in Mendocino County must obtain a permit. How does one get a permit, you ask? It's easier than you think. Burn permits can now be obtained online at www.burnpermit.fire.ca.gov. Applicants simply need to watch a short educational video and submit an application through the website. This process ensures that individuals have the necessary information to conduct burns safely and reduce the risk of fire escape. Remember, it's essential to have your permit either printed or available digitally when conducting these burns. These permits are valid starting May 1st each year and require annual renewal. And the best part, they are issued free of charge. Now, if you are wondering about burn day status, Mendocino County's Air Quality Management District has you covered. They regulate burn day status through their burn day information line at 707-463-4391, or you can reach them directly at 707-463-4354. Safety is paramount when it comes to hazard reduction burning. Property owners must adhere to hazard reduction guidelines listed on the permit. Always maintain a minimum 10-foot clearance down to bare mineral soil around burn piles. Keep a shovel and water source handy, and ensure there's an adult present during burning. Failure to follow these precautions can lead to citations and fines. For more information on residential burning or other fire safety tips, visit your local CAL FIRE station or head over to www.readyforwildfire.org. And now to Ukiah, which is gearing up for an adrenaline-fueled cycling event on Saturday, May 11th, known as the 2024 Ukiah Mendo Hopper. Part of the prestigious Grasshopper Adventure Series, this race has been pushing cyclists for 28 years across 13 countries. Kicking off with registration on Thursday, May 9th at the California Welcome Center in downtown Ukiah, the excitement builds with practice rides and technical demos on Friday. Thanks to sponsors like the City of Ukiah and Mendocino Redwood Company, cyclists will tackle private forest roads and challenging terrain. For event info and registration, visit grasshopperadventureseries.com. And that's the latest from Mendocino County. I'm Matt LaFever in Hopland, reporting for KMUD News.
And Ray Hamill brings us last week's sports news.
One Humboldt County High School coach recorded a career milestone victory this week. Hello and welcome to this week's KMUD News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on that big achievement in just a moment, and we'll also be looking at some of the other big local sports stories from what was a busy week in Humboldt County sports, including all the latest high school baseball and softball news, a coaching change at College of the Redwoods, how one local team was honored for a breakthrough season recently, another success story at St. Bernard's High School, and a big weekend in store for the HDNL track and field teams. But first up, longtime local coach Eric Helms achieved a career milestone this week when the Fortuna High School softball team beat Eureka on Wednesday. The Huskies won the game 11-4 to keep their Big 5 championship hopes alive, and in doing so, they gave their head coach his 200th career victory in the sport. Helms, who was also an assistant football coach at College of the Redwoods, has been in charge of the Fortuna High softball team for the past 14 seasons and has enjoyed plenty of success during that time. After the historic victory, Helms praised the contributions of all of his assistant coaches during his time in charge, as well as that of his wife Kelly Helms, who also is one of the most prominent softball coaches in the county and oversees the Humboldt Fast Pitch Softball Association. The win lifted the Huskies to 7-3 in the Big 5 with two games remaining. They trailed Del Norte by one win in the conference standings after the Warriors also won this week, beating Arcata 11-0 in five innings to keep their title ambitions on track. Both teams have already qualified for next week's HDNL Charles Lakin postseason softball tournament, which gets underway on Tuesday at the Arcata Sports Complex. The Warriors can clinch the Big 5 championship with a pair of wins over the Tigers in Crescent City on Saturday. In other local softball news, the St. Bernard's girls clinched the Little 4 championship for the first time in 8 years with a doubleheader sweep over Hoopa last weekend. The Crusaders won the games 11-1 and 6-3, giving them a first conference pennant since 2016 and ending Hoopa's four-season reign as Little 4 champions. Both of those teams have also qualified for next week's Charles Lakin tournament. Also in the Little 4 last weekend, the Ferndale Wildcats swept a high-scoring doubleheader against South Fork to keep their Lakin tournament hopes alive. The Cats enjoyed their best day of the season and won the games 17-14 and 13-12. The Charles Lakin tournament features the top three teams in both the Big 5 and Little 4, with the two conference champions receiving an opening round bye. The action gets underway with two first-round games on Tuesday, followed by the semi-finals on Thursday and the championship game on Friday evening. In local high school baseball, meanwhile, the McKinleyville Panthers clinched the Big 5 championship with a doubleheader sweep against Arcata on Saturday. The Panthers won the games 10-1 and 10-0, giving them their first championship since the 2019 season. The McKinleyville boys also defeated St. Bernard's 15-4 in non-league action on Monday and will be considered the favourites to win next week's Charles Lakin baseball tournament, which also gets underway on Tuesday and will be played at the Arcata ballpark. In Big 5 games on Wednesday of this week, the Eureka boys secured second place in the conference with a 9-0 win at Fortuna, with junior Royce Olson pitching a one-hitter for the victory. The Arcata Tigers also won on Wednesday, rallying from an early two-run deficit to beat Del Norte 3-2 on a walk-off and keep their slim hopes of a place in the Lakin tournament alive. In other sports news this week, there is a coaching change in the works at College of the Redwoods. Last Friday, softball head coach Megan Valente announced to her players that she would be stepping down after 3 years in charge and 5 years with the program. Valente took over from longtime CR coach Maggie White after the 2021 season, after spending 2 years as White's assistant. Valente, who did not specify why she was stepping down, enjoyed some success with the program, leading the Corsairs to a 21-15 season in 2023, which was their first winning season since 2006. This season, she guided the Corsairs to a record of 11-25 overall and 8-12 in the Golden Valley Conference. Her teams were known for fielding mostly local players, something she said she was proud of. College of the Redwoods athletic director Bob Brown thanked Valente for all she has done for the Corsairs and will immediately begin the search for a replacement. Brown is hoping to have a new coach hired within the next month. In other College of the Redwoods news, last week the local JC honored the 2023 Grizzly Bowl winning team with a ring ceremony on campus in front of players, family and fans. The Corsairs cruised to a 63-0 win over Hartnell at the Redwood Bowl in early December, which was their first bowl victory in 30 years. Head coach Jason White spoke of the team's remarkable legacy. Not only did they achieve the breakthrough bowl victory, but this group of players also brought football back to College of the Redwoods after a two-year hiatus, and they posted back-to-back winning seasons after the college had not had one since 2001. White and this year's players also recently completed a successful spring session, and the head coach said he is expecting as many as 100 players on hand for the fall. St. Bernard's High School, meanwhile, held a letter signing ceremony last week for seven of its seniors who will be taking their talents to the college sports fields, including four who will play at Seor. Seth Dyer announced he will play basketball for Bard College in New York, while Aiden Burris will play basketball for Chabot College, and Rowan Crumwell will play basketball at Seor. Also joining the Corsairs, Kiara McGinnis will play softball for the local community college, while Kyler Smith and Ulysses Bailey will both play football at Seor. And rounding out the contingent of St. Bernard's college-bound athletes, Wyatt Simone will play football at Shasta College. And finally this week, it will be a big weekend for the HDNL track and field athletes, with the league championships taking place at McKinleyville High School on Saturday. The top finishers in each event will advance to next week's North Coast Section Championships. And that's this week's K-Mud News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
Two women from Humboldt for Palestine called the K-Mud newsroom this Monday afternoon with an update on the ongoing activities in support of Palestinians in Gaza.
We are here setting up a protest for a free Palestine on LK Wood and 14th outside of the Cal Poly Humboldt campus. Well, currently we have two tables and a bench set up. We are getting some art supplies out. One of the art stations that we have is for Birds for Palestine Humboldt, who you can find on Instagram. So that is a bird making activity or paper bird decorating activity in honor of children who have been martyred in Gaza. And then we are also going to have an option to write Mother's Day cards to mothers from Gaza. And then we have a couple action items as well, which my friend can talk about.
Hi, my name's India. We have a few different action items for people to do. We're going to have a table set up with paper and, like, envelopes and everything so people can write letters to representatives calling for a ceasefire. And then we will also have resources for people to get more plugged into the community and continue taking action and being involved.
We are set up on LK Wood and 14th, right outside the Cal Poly Humboldt classroom. We're on a corner. You can't really miss us if you drive by.
You want people to come by and make cards. What else are you hoping for?
We're hoping for people to write letters to representatives. And then we also have we're trying to plug people into Humboldt for Palestine, which you can also find on Instagram. And they've been organizing a lot in the community for the past, like, 6 months. So as the school year is coming to an end, we really want to plug students into, like, how they can continue to take action and continue to stay involved.
Okay. And will there be some Humboldt for Palestine people remaining in this community over the summer?
There will be. We have members, not only students, we have community members, we have local educators, we have educators from Cal Poly Humboldt. We are wide-reaching and people who have been here for decades.
Tonight, Food Not Bombs will be here as well, serving food. This is going to be going on Monday through Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. And then on Friday,
From 4 to 6 p.m., Humboldt for Palestine has regular weekly rallies for ceasefire.
At the courthouse.
At the courthouse, 4 to 6 p.m. And we've been there for 6 months now.
Again, protesters with Humboldt for Palestine will be at the corner of 14th and LK Wood Boulevard in Arcata from 4 to 6 p.m. through Thursday and at the county courthouse in Eureka on Friday. That's all for tonight's news. Thank you to our reporters, Stella Gerkins, Matt LaFever, and Ray Hamill, and to our engineer, Javier Rodriguez. I'm Kelly Lincoln for KMUD News.